Okay, I think we're ready to begin. Okay, before we talk about last week's assignment, we'll pray. Some of you probably need prayer for that. So.
Did you have a mountaintop experience?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, a number of them. Richard, why don't you open us in prayer?
Oh, I would love to. Yeah. Lord, we praise you this morning, your precious children. And sometimes we don't own that title like we should. Forgive us our many sins, and thank you for this class. And I pray that Monty was refreshed from his time, and that he would minister to us in a wonderful way as we look at how we should be praying and how we should learn to pray better. And we trust you in all of that, Lord. Minister to us, forgive us when we fall short, and help us to grow to become more like Jesus. For we ask it in his name.
Amen. Okay, last week's assignment was to focus your prayers on things you knew to be God's will. So what happened with that? What did you experience?
I actually experienced them for the first time. No. I said what on the surface would be a kind of sound like a selfish prayer, but I've been asking the Lord to change me, to become more like Jesus. But what happened to me was that little garden experience that I was kind of down one day. Sometimes the Lord answers prayers that we haven't even voiced yet. I was just feeling down one morning and frustrated with my little garden out here because something kept eating my cornfields. Anyway, got to meet some wonderful people, the people that ministered to me, and just great, you know, relationships. So I don't think I really need a garden because they gave me a bunch of gardens.
Oh, okay.
So, well, I realized my job is just to be nice to people.
And that'll give you all the gardens.
Well, I won't have to grow a garden. So anyway, that was a real encouragement to me. You know, there's times when I don't run on even keel and lay down. So okay. The Lord answered a prayer I hadn't even voiced yet.
Cool. Other experiences, other things you observe. Don't make me ask who's doing the assignment. So, yeah,
right. I found it difficult just because I had to really think, and I guess that's kind of scared to say that I really had to focus and think as I was praying rather than kind of the habitual, you know, whatever routine I was in.
So. Yeah, thinking's a good thing usually. So. Yeah, Phil.
Yeah, I found myself checking myself as to, was that really a wish or was that God's will?
Yeah.
And it was a good exercise, and it really did make me think too about what am I praying and how am I praying? am I presuming upon God? Am I trying to be God?
Yeah.
Conform him to my will. So it was really a good exercise.
One of the problems we have, we tend to naturally have a familiarity with God, the Abba Father, you know, aspect. And sometimes the Abba Father aspect clouds the transcendence of God and the holiness of God. And the, stop and think about who you're really coming before here, if as I gave the illustration last week, you know, you go before a earthly judge, and you're probably kind of nervous about it, and you're really watching your words, and da-da-da-da-da. And then we go before God, the ultimate judge, infinite, you know, all that, and then have far too casual an attitude, I think, much of the time. So, but anyway, the praying versus wishing, and we're going to keep hitting that, and we're also going to keep hitting, particularly as we get into our class on petition, where we'll go into this specifically, the idea of having a basis. And you're going to find yourself, hopefully, continually asking yourself a question as you pray, okay, now, what would be the basis for me asking God for this, you know, dot, dot, dot. And that changes your prayer life in a very significant and wonderful way. So, anyway, lesson overview. In prayer, we act like men. In praise, we act like angels. Thomas Watson. And if you haven't read a lot of Thomas Watson read a lot of Thomas Watson, because Thomas Watson's really cool. So, of the
Thomas? No,
not so cool.
Okay, overview. Okay, number one, praise perhaps the most neglected form of prayer. Two, praise is often confused with thanksgiving. We're going to talk about that. And then praise expresses the ultimate level of relationship. And we're going to talk about relationships, both earthly and how that applies to relating to God. And then the Psalms provide the greatest instruction on praising God. So you're going to learn how to praise God, you know, just pray the Psalms. So, end of class. You could just about end it there. Anyway, so let's get into content here. How would you define what it is to praise God? What is that? What does that mean to you? What does that come to mind when we talk about praising God?
Declaring back to Him who He is.
Okay. Excellent. Praying back to Him who He is. That's a real nugget, the real kernel of this. Other thoughts you have come to mind when you think of praising God?
Acknowledging and worshiping His attributes.
Okay. Acknowledging and worshiping His attributes. Okay. Good. Those are great. Any others? So. Yes, sir.
Lifting up His name.
Lifting up His name.
In all its fullness.
Yeah.
Which names.
Right.
That's one of the things God guards.
Yeah. And we could probably even say lifting up His names, because we have a bunch of different names, all of which have different significances. Okay. Dictionary definition. I may have said this before, but my favorite Bible study tool, apart from the Bible itself, is an English dictionary. You can learn more from an English dictionary than just about anything other than Scripture itself. So it's always kind of nice to look at dictionary definitions. And I was kind of amazed at something here, because when I looked at the definition, I realized there was something I'd never thought about, you know, before in this regard. But anyway, dictionary definition, in terms of filling in the blanks here, to set a price on. Definition of praise. And then the second blank there, to appraise. And I thought, golly, I've got a client that's a real estate appraiser, and I never even thought about the word appraise and praise are the same thing. To set a price on something. So you're talking about how valuable, you know, God is, essentially. Additional definitions: to commend the worth of, to express approval or admiration of. And then the third definition in the dictionary, to laud the glory of God, etc., as in song, glorify, extol. So that's, you know, kind of what the dictionary says, but I think that particularly grabbed me on appraise, because, you know, very familiar with that word in terms of real estate and all of that, and I never thought about that as far as that and praise are same idea, same root word. Okay, now our definition, number three there, praise is a worshipful confession to God of who He is and what He does. Okay, so the blanks there, praise a worshipful confession to God of who He is and what He does. As has already been alluded to in your earlier comments. Now, what praise is not? Okay, praise is not saying praise the Lord. Okay? And, you know, I picked this up 45 years ago at a conference that Dr. Ralph Alexander was speaking at, a message entitled The Praise of God, and explaining what praise was, and that's got all this started many decades ago. But praise the Lord is an imperative. That's telling somebody else to praise the Lord. Okay, now, and you'll find some of that in the Bible, you know, by the way, but that's not praising God. That's commanding someone else to praise God. Best illustration of this, and again, going back to Dr. Alexander 45 years ago, he said, you know, shut the door. Shut the door. Shut the door. Okay. Saying that is not shutting the door. Walking over the door and closing it is shutting the door. Saying shut the door is just the command to do it, the imperative. Okay. How about love your wife? Love your wife. Love your wife. Okay. Is that loving your wife? No, that's just commanding somebody else to do that. Okay. It's just an imperative. And so we have to distinguish between saying the imperative that you need to do this versus actually doing it. Okay. I doubt if your wife is going to be impressed by you going around saying love your wife, love your wife, love your wife, you know, all the time, versus actually loving your wife. Okay. So same way with God. Okay. Question now, what is the difference between praise and thanksgiving?
I think I have a hard time in my praise is more thanksgiving than not, right? Like, thank you, I praise you, Lord, for what you did in this situation
right.
for me and my family. Well, that's
right.
That's just thanking him.
Right.
It's
right.
not praising him for his character and his attributes.
Okay. Thanksgiving is also commanded in Scripture, too. So we're not trying to take anything away from that. But, you know, compared to praise, you know, thanksgiving is kissing your sister. You know, I mean, it's not on the same level, you know, at all. It's important, yeah, but it's not. Praise is way, way up there.
It's like the acronym with adoration being praise, the praise part. The ACTS. And then
right, right. Adoration would probably be pretty much a synonym, you know, for praise, and that the acronym, the ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, thanksgiving is separated there inappropriately. So
there's a concept, and I think it's in Hebrews. You can correct me if I'm wrong about sacrifice of praise, and I've experienced this at least once, in which I was so down. And you praise the Lord in spite of your feelings. And it's amazing how God ends up ministering, or how many sins you end up confessing, and how many tears you end up crying when you're able to do that.
Yeah.
And out of gratefulness to the Lord.
Yeah. Praise says to God, filling in my blanks here, you are. I'm kind of oversimplifying this, but I'm a simple person, and that's what I do. So, okay, praise says to God, you are. Thanksgiving says to God, you did.
Did.
And I think that's one of the best ways to understand the difference. Now, praise may also talk about, as we're going to see in the Scripture as we get into that, may talk about things God did, you know, too. But it's not going to be in the context of thanksgiving so much. It's going to be in the context of worship. Is the difference. So praise, you are. Thanksgiving, you did. Yeah, Richard.
Yeah, it seems like whenever I see praise, like in the book of Revelation, they're praising God for who he is,
yeah.
for his greatness,
yeah.
his majesty, for his holiness.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, key thought there. So
yes,
it's amazing that thanksgiving can typically be looking backward, but with God, which is unusual, it also can be looking forward,
mm-hmm.
thanking him for what he's going to
anticipation.
Do. And
yeah.
Essentially, though, that's thanking him for what he did in eternity past for eternity. Future,
mm-hmm.
from our perspective, he's already there.
Yeah. Well, and that anticipation is going back to who he is. Because the reason you can anticipate is because of who he is.
Exactly.
And all that. Otherwise, you couldn't. Yeah. Now, let me exemplify this another way. We'll go back to marriage. Okay, Thanksgiving. Husband to wife. Thank you for preparing that wonderful dinner. Okay. Praise. You are the most wonderful person I could have ever met. Now, wives, which would you rather hear? A or B?
B.
Okay, that's the difference between praise and thanksgiving. Now, to be fair, let's turn it around the other way.
Okay.
Wives to husbands. Okay, thank you for taking out the garbage. Okay, versus you're the most wonderful man I could ever have met. How could I be so fortunate as to have met you and married you? Praise. Okay. So, you know, it's the same thing. Is Thanksgiving a good thing? Yeah, Thanksgiving is a good thing. Praise is a great thing, right? By comparison. So you want to transform your relationship with God, more praise. Not saying to do less Thanksgiving, but more praise. You want to transform your relationship with any other person? More praise. You know, same thing. We'll get into that all more in a moment. Anyway, earlier it was referred to about the tendency to for what should be praise to kind of slip into Thanksgiving or to be hard to get out of Thanksgiving. And you probably had the experience of some kind of a prayer meeting where the leader has said, let's begin our time by first praising God. Okay? And then I can almost guarantee that within about 20 seconds, it's going to be Thanksgiving. Okay? It will just kind of shift into that. And why? Because we haven't been taught praise. And it's not like it's not there in the scripture, but we just... It's relatively easy to thank somebody for something, at least as a Christian. That almost comes naturally to us. Praise is a whole different animal, though, so much more difficult. So, yeah.
Do you find Thanksgiving maybe more centered or maybe more focused in a sense on us? Praise, I mean, what can we say?
Yeah.
Praise is totally God-focused. But Thanksgiving becomes a thank you for giving me.
Yeah, it's more specific. You're thinking of a specific thing that you've received or, you know, whatever.
But it turns the focus.
Yeah.
Several of us in this room were in a congregation where oftentimes on a Sunday evening we had to go through the alphabet and just give answers of who God is, of his character, of his attributes. And it's
good.
Hard. You know,
good.
It's a good practice to do something like that because... It's not something we focus on a lot.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I've mentioned before that, you know, if you really, the most important thing really is to meditate on who God is. Because if you do that, you will automatically almost be immune from false teaching because false teaching will just stick out like a sore thumb if you're really clear on the attributes of God. And one thing I would commend to you is reminded of it again watching some of the videos from R.C. Sproul's conference in L.A. a couple weeks ago. The question and answer they were asking the different speakers what book had influenced them the most. And I forgot if it was John MacArthur or one of the other guys, but he said Stephen Charnock's The Existence and Attributes of God. And which I was introduced to by Earl Rodmacher, you know, almost 50 years ago when he kind of said the same thing and told the story of that. But here's an English Puritan pastor that basically spends his quiet time meditating on who God is and what God is like. And then this whole massive volume comes out of that that is very hard to read. It's not that it's grammatically hard to read so much as... it just is so overwhelming to read the insights. And so you read a couple of pages of that on the sovereignty of God, and it's like, wow, you know, I need to take a break here. That's more than my brain can handle. So anyway, that's just a aside. Okay, next section, purpose of praise. Why are we to praise God? That might be a basic question to answer. What do you think?
It's commanded.
Commanded, okay, that's always a good reason. What else?
I think knowing that he commands our good. How about that?
Knowing he what?
He commands our good. He commands what's good for us.
He commands what's good for us, yeah. Okay.
Takes our focus off ourselves.
Takes our focus off ourselves. Okay, that is a really key thing. Praise, if you're actually doing biblical praise, it's not going to be about you at all. So that's key. Yeah, Richard.
Well, we're made in his image, and if we're made in his image, we ought to reflect him, the maker himself. And so in doing so, we reflect on him alone. Hmm. And I'm not saying we negate ourselves,
yeah.
Because we do come into the picture. But,
yeah. Okay, and kind of come back to that quote by Thomas Watson, prayer we act like men, and praise we act like angels. You know, you're talking about this is what happens in the heavenly realm. You know, God is praised. That's what we see in the book of Revelation and elsewhere. So, yeah, Kathy?
It's good practice for when we do get to heaven.
Good practice for when we do get to heaven. Okay, because that's what heaven's about, you know, is praising God. And good thoughts. Now, how does praising God change our relationship with God?
It exalts him.
Okay, it exalts him.
It deepens the
relationship. So how does that change our relationship with him?
It. Well, it's the perspective in which you view him.
Okay, it changes the perspective that you view him, okay?
I think it reminds us of who he is and that our faith in him.
Okay. Reminds us of who he is. Yeah, good thoughts.
It's more of an intimacy of knowing him, because you have to know him to praise him. And so there's it develops that intimacy.
It'll definitely keep your reverence there when you start considering who he is. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of takes away that I walk in there slumber in and, oh, okay, God, here I am, you know, type.
Yeah, it kind of sobers us up in terms of our relationship with God, that's for sure. So building the relationship, you know, overall, you know, it's kind of what you're saying here, and it's all about relationships. Okay, let's talk about relationships. Backside of your sheet here. I'm going to share a continuum that was shared with me again many decades ago that relates to, you know, human psychology, but I found it really in a very profound way relates to our relationship with God. Called the 7 A's. I've actually altered this a little bit from its original form slightly. You have a relationship or a non-relationship with every person in the world. Okay, most of the people in the world you don't have a relationship with. Okay, all the people you do have a relationship with, you are somewhere on this continuum of these seven things. Okay, so you start out with acknowledgement. Okay, so if we apply this to church, greeting time at church, shake hands with the person in front of you, hi, good morning, that's acknowledgement, okay? And that's all it is, you know, at that point, if it doesn't go any further. So in other words, an acknowledgement, you're basically saying, I acknowledge your existence. Okay. Not a whole lot of dynamic, you know, in that kind of a relationship. But with, you know, most of the 7 billion people or whatever it is on the planet, you haven't gotten to that level yet, you know, because you don't know them. You've never met them. Okay. Second A would be acceptance. Okay, this is going a little bit deeper. And I'm going to apply this all the praise here in a moment. But, acceptance, you're basically saying, you're okay. I don't have a problem with you occupying this space, you know, essentially. You're okay to be in my presence. You're okay for me to talk to, what have you. Now, back to our greeting in church, this is where you went a little bit farther than shaking hands and, communicated some kind of acceptance, glad to see you this morning or, whatever type of thing. But still, it's not much of a relationship, at that point. Okay, then we get a little deeper. The third A would be appreciation. Now, you talk about appreciation. And actually, do I have these? I have these reversed, I think. No, yeah, I have them. I think I did this wrong in the book because that's what I'm looking at. Okay, let's do them and let's go approval for number three. I'll be consistent with the book even if I am wrong. Okay, so. Okay, the central idea to approval in relationships is that something is worthy or good. So basically you're saying amen to them and what they've done. So there's a basic agreement, at this point. So if I send, Richard an email, and here's a link to an article I wrote on something or other, and he emails back, that's really good or something like that, thanks for sending that, then we've kind of moved into the realm of approval. But number four, appreciation. Appreciation's going deeper because at that point, Richard is saying to me, this did something positive for me. Okay, so this actually had benefit. So that's going to be the key thought there. Okay, then you go into the last three A's. Admiration. This step. With admiration, I'm holding you in high esteem. Okay? It's not just that I approve of you or appreciate what you've done or said or what have you, but I really think you're someone special, at that point. Admiration. And six, affection. And we might say extreme affection, because affection could be kind of minor in some cases, but a dictionary says affection is a warm and tender feeling towards someone. Okay, so to have affection is to deeply like somebody. Okay, it's not about what they do or, that type of thing, what they've done for you, but it's just, you just really like them. Okay, and then number seven, which is where we're going to tie back into praise, would be adoration. Okay, adoration is the greatest level of relationship. Intimate relationship. The dictionary says adoration is loving greatly or honoring highly. And when applied to someone other than God, adoration is going to border on idolatry. Okay. Say the least, it can only appropriately characterize a very, very few close relationships on a human level. Okay, so the idea of praise, to come back to praise, is to get you to the seventh A in your relationship with God. Okay, so earlier on here, we were, dealing with thanksgiving, we were dealing with, so on. So here's how you apply this to your relationship with God. The first A, acknowledgement. Okay, you believe God exists. Okay, that would be acknowledgement. Acceptance. Okay, you're tolerant of his existence. Okay, you're not really fighting, the fact that God exists. Approval, you recognize God's providential working in the world. And by the way, this is in the book in the chapter on praise. Okay, approval, then appreciation. You're pleased with his blessings in your life. Okay, so kind of a Thanksgiving type of thing. Admiration, you are related to him in a love relationship. Okay, affection, you have developed a deep love toward God, and then adoration, you praise and worship Him for who He is. Now, in my view, in this continuum, you're probably not a believer until you get to step five. Okay, up to that point, you're just kind of have some generic feelings about God, but at step five, admiration, you are actually related to God. You're a mature believer at step seven, adoration and praise. And so, apart from relationship of praise, you can't deeply know God.
Where does trust enter? To trust somebody completely,
okay.
You have to have, I mean, you can't have that without a right.
Yep.
Am I right in that? That you have to completely trust what they say is true and believe it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does that encompass all of those, or just...
It would encompass, I think, the last three, anyway, the three highest ones. That's a good point. I hadn't really thought about that, but I think that would start with admiration when you're related to God in a love relationship, and six, when you have a deep love toward God. There's, I think, trust gets wrapped up in that, too.
Yeah, I was thinking...
Good observation.
I was thinking more on our relationship with other people.
Mm.
You cannot have a close relationship until you really believe what they say is true.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
You can know them and you can all
right.
these other things, but
right.
you have to trust what they say and really believe them.
Yeah.
That's the close.
That's going to be a big element in this for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's look at praise in the Psalms. Turn to Psalm 145. Psalm 145, if somebody would read the first seven verses out loud for us.
I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They will speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness.
Okay, is this praise? Phil's shaking his head no. Okay, what is going on here?
I will.
He's not actually doing it. He's saying, "I will praise God." Okay, then let's go to the verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Mm-hmm. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all He has made. And then verses 13 to 21, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his works and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Okay, is this praise? And not the last verse, so, right, yeah.
And that's the, you know, I would argue that the first is praise as well.
And
the I will doesn't necessarily say it.
Verse 2 says it.
Yeah.
Every day I will bless you. That includes today.
Okay.
And yesterday, right?
But he's saying, I will do this.
It's just a
preface.
He's
not saying I am doing this right now.
Okay?
So, I know this seems a little semantical and all of that, but the key thing is, what do you see in these latter verses? The Lord is, the Lord is, the Lord is, the Lord is. So it's all focused on who God is, and what he has done back to our definition. So, yeah.
What is the fact that he's speaking about the Lord in the third person make a difference? As long as we're being grammatical, he's not saying you are, he's saying he is. Does that make a difference?
Good question. I think it's more personal, certainly, when in your prayer time you're saying, you know, you are, rather than the Lord is. But I think you would personalize it more when you're actually praying this. So in other words, if you're looking at this as an example for, you know, praise, you're going to say, you know, oh God, you are gracious and merciful. Or you might say, oh God, you're gracious and merciful to me. And make it even more personal. But the key thing is, does it focus on a statement, a confession of who God is and, you know, what he's done, and by extension from that.
Bonnie, Kathy.
Yeah, Kathy.
I think it depends on your heart's condition when you pray these psalms. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times when I pray a psalm,
yeah,
I'm praying it to God.
Yeah.
And I'm not concerned about the grammar.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the issue is
not the grammar, other than to illustrate the difference between, it's back on the difference between saying shut the door, shut the door, shut the door, and going over and shutting the door.
But you know, if a person thinks too much about it, they're not going to do it.
Well, you've got the inspired word of God, that you can follow the example. See, that's the key thing. So you'll never go wrong on this if you pray the way David prayed. So in the Psalms. And so, you know, that's the key thing, is to come back that, let that be your guide rather than the traditions of men being your guide, which is how we operate in much of our Christian life, unfortunately. So if we go back to the scripture and see, okay, here's praise, I can pray this too. A model has been put forth here for me to follow.
There's tremendous strength to he is also, because this is almost independent of how you feel.
Yeah.
He is merciful, whether I feel like he's merciful or not, or whether I even acknowledge he is merciful.
Yeah.
He is merciful.
Yeah.
So that's the strength that a third person has in that sense.
Okay.
This is independent of whatever emotional connection I might have.
Okay. Let's go back to Psalm 34. One of my favorites here. Okay, somebody read verses 1 through 3.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
Okay, so is he praising the Lord, or is he saying he's going to do it?
I think
he's exhorting others to do it.
And exhorting others to do it. Okay. I have kind of two aspects of this. He's saying, I will. Okay, will is future tense. This is something I'm going to do. But he's also saying, encouraging others to do this. So magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Okay, let's go on a little further. Verses 4 through 6, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who looked to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Let me stop there, verse 6. Okay, how would you characterize that section as far as what he's doing?
Praise. He's praising.
It's something that God did.
Thanksgiving.
That he delivered him from his fears.
Okay. He's talking about something God did, but isn't that more of a thanksgiving if you're talking about what he did?
Yes.
He delivered me from all my fears.
But he's not asked specifically thanking him for it. He's stating
okay.
What he's
it's kind
done.
Of border, it's kind of borderline.
It almost seems like history. This is what happened.
It almost seems like
history. This is
yeah.
This is what happened.
Yeah, he's recounting, you know.
And, you know, it almost seems like he's
praising
the word
God for it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, now let's go to verse 7 then, 7 through 10. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Okay, how would you characterize that section?
I would say praise, because you're saying what the attributes of God are. Like, he will satisfy you. He will do this for those who seek the Lord.
Okay, but is he talking about who God is or what God will do or has done?
Looks like what God is doing.
Yeah.
You know, I take refuge in him. He delivers them. There's another few there. There could be some praise in there as well, but...
But do you see, basically there's an exhortation here to others.
Mm-hmm.
That mainly
yeah.
this is encouraging people's relationship with God. It's not really personal to him, to God, so much as telling others, hey, let me tell you about what God's done, you know, type of thing. Okay, now we're going to get there. the final section, okay, and again, you look at the whole thing, and you can see, I think, the delineation between these different aspects, between thanksgiving and exhortation and so on. Verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, none of them is broken. You know, the end. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. The earlier stuff is kind of preparation. He's kind of working into it. And you see this in a lot of the Psalms, where it starts out, you know, I will do this, I will praise the Lord, his exhortations and so on. And then he gets to the real pay dirt, you know, at the end, and starts talking about the Lord is this, the Lord is that, da 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 da, and exalting the person of God at that point, rather than just merely what God has done or that sort of thing. So,
I think the verses that you didn't read are some of the most important verses in this, verses 11 through 13, because that actually tells you about.
We need to be exhorted. The point that I'm wanting to make is that go all the way to the Lord is, okay, as you're praising God. Then you're right in the center of it at that point. And just by way of application. The last section here, bringing praise into your prayer life. Okay, so how do we do this? Where should praise fit in your prayer life, do you think?
Well, in the acronym for pray, I think it's right at the beginning. Pray that acronym.
Why is it important for praise to be at the beginning?
It sets you up for the rest of the prayer.
It sets you up, yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
No, you said it.
It sets you up for the rest of your prayer.
Okay.
You're in the right frame of mind.
It's a focus on God.
Yeah, exactly. Now, if you start with praise, does that affect what you petition God for?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, why?
Because if you start with praise, you're already repeating his characteristics, his
mm-hmm.
attributes.
Mm-hmm.
So then your prayer would, I would think, more naturally then tend to lean towards praying for things that fit within his attributes and his characteristics.
Okay.
So you really would then be praying more his will versus
right.
reassuring yourself.
Reassuring. See, if you start with praise, is that going to eliminate the need to petition on some things? If you just get wrapped up in who God is and what he's like and
maybe,
all of that.
But it might change the petition.
It might change
it,
the petition.
It might not eliminate anything, but it might change the way that you pray for that particular thing.
You're more apt to pray what we learned in chapter 3.
More apt to pray what we learned in chapter 3 on the will of God. So as you get wrapped up in who God is and his character, then we're gonna tend to align with that automatically. It just kind of leads us into his will. Yeah, Richard.
You start out by saying, I'm in agreement with you, God, and I'm putting my expression here, I'm not sucking up. I really believe what you stand for. I agree with who you are.
Okay. Well, we're out of time. Assignment-wise, ponder which attributes of God most impact you today and begin praising him by saying, you are, dot, 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 whatever it is. Secondly, this week, focus your prayer life on praying psalms that mirror your present life situation. Everything is covered. Every situation is covered in the psalms, a whole range of human emotion. And observe how that changes your intimacy with God. So find the psalms that fit you and where you're at, right now. Pray the psalms. The books are available, the Radical Prayer Book, the Face-to-Face on Christian Personal Retreats, the card on the Historic Faith blog to get articles on other things. Next week, we're going to talk about meditation. And confessions. We're combining together two chapters, so it's going to be the next two.
And we have that.
Previous outlines, if you missed an earlier class, those are available. So let us then close in prayer.
What two chapters should we read next?
Let's see. What are we going on today? Four. So it'd be five and six.
Five and six.
Yeah, I believe so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are great, you are holy, you are merciful to us in our state, in our finite state, when we seek to understand you and yet really know so little. But we praise you for revealing yourself to us in the scripture, in the creation, in the person of Christ, and answering our prayer that we've been praying, that you would teach us to pray. So we just glory in that relationship with you and all that that means. And Lord, just mature us, grow us up in this faith as we spend this intimate time with you. So we commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Bonnie. Yeah.